Our scripture reading this morning is found in your bulletins, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. We're going to read this text in unison. I'll ask you to stand as we read God's word together, and then remain standing for our last hymn before the preaching of God's word. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16. Again, we'll read this in unison, so we'll read this together.
We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
And this is God's word. Glad to have Pastor Greg, of course, he's here and going to be speaking for us today. Greg, would you come and open God's word for us?
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, if you want to take them, we'll be in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. It's probably something you'll be hearing me say for quite a while as I have opportunities to preach. Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 17 and 18 today. Perhaps you've heard the story of a man who was in a supermarket and he was pushing a cart that contained not only several groceries but also a screaming, crying baby. As he proceeded along the aisles, he kept repeating softly, "Keep calm, George. Don't get excited, George. Don't yell, George." A lady was standing nearby and was watching him with great admiration, and she said to him, "You are certainly to be commended for your patience in trying to quiet little George." And he looked at her and he said, "Lady, I'm George." Can relate to this story. We just rode back from Branson, Missouri this week, and Hannah was not feeling so well, and the last couple hours, I just kept reminding myself that she had been good the previous 10 hours, and that I should cut her some slack, but that got harder and harder as we went further and further, and so. But, you know, as we relate to this story in different ways, this woman obviously had a problem with comprehending the situation. You see, she was observing, even though she had clearly seen and heard all that was going on as she was walking by this gentleman, even though she had understood, something was missing in her perception of this old man. She knew the facts. She knew what was true. But you see, she didn't actually comprehend what they truly meant. And I would submit to you this morning, do you realize that is often very similar when it comes to believers as they encounter biblical truth. They might hear it, read it, memorize it, but they might never fully comprehend it, never fully perceive or understand what it really means, what its implications are for them personally. And see, if we are going to grow as believers, if we are going to mature as believers, and if we are going to make progress in our relationship and our walk with Christ, then if we are going to stand fast for Christ, even as Christians or as a church, then we must understand that we each need a deeper understanding of God and the things of God. We need spiritual comprehension. We need to understand not just how to rightly interpret biblical texts, but we need to spiritual understanding. And I would submit to you this morning that understanding, that understanding is only given by the Holy Spirit. See, when we looked at Ephesians a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, we looked at verses 15 through 16, a deep expression of Paul's thanksgiving. And look with me there. Let me read the text that we're looking at today and a little bit around it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith, Paul writing to the Ephesians. He says, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. As we look here at this text, and I want to remind you, really, as Paul was writing to the Ephesian believers, Paul was thankful for the blessings of redemption that God had poured out on them. He was thankful for their faith, and their love was evident to others, and he consistently prayed for them. Following his thanksgiving in verses 15 and 16, Paul unfolds for his readers the content of that prayer for them. And he tells them, as he reports to them, what he is praying for on their behalf. And while they were to be commended for their love and faith, he tells them they needed something else, something vitally more important. Something that every believer in here needs as well. Here we see that Paul's prayer brings out this vital truth that every believer needs spiritual illumination to grow in their knowledge of God. Spiritual illumination to grow in their knowledge of God. Paul's desire and prayer for the Ephesians was that they might have not just a surface knowledge of God, but his desire for the believers at Ephesus was that they would have a deeper insight of him, his plans, and his program. See, his desire was that this growing knowledge of God could only, that they would understand this growing knowledge of God could only come through the Holy Spirit in their lives. Just as this was crucial for the Ephesian believers, I would submit to you this morning that it's also crucial for us. And so this morning, as we look at the initial content of Paul's prayer, I'd like us to consider some vital ideas in what is involved in what we call illumination. And I would submit to you this morning first this. Every believer has the capacity for spiritual illumination by virtue of the new birth. Look with me again at this verse 15. Notice what Paul's giving thanks for. He says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you. When we speak of the spiritual illumination, we are not talking about some spiritually unique thing that only the most divine believers, only the spiritually elite, I don't think I just broke the pulpit, but only the spiritually mature possess. Well, what Paul wants them to understand and what I want us to understand this morning, myself included, is this, that this is something that every believer has the capacity for. Why? It's an aspect of the new birth. This is why Paul could pray for the need for all believers at Ephesus. Notice, Paul states in his prayer request in verse 17, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. But now look at verse 18. What does he say? Having your eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is. That you may know. Your translation may read, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Either way, literally, the phrase here is the eyes of your heart having been enlightened. One lexicon says the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart. It is figurative for the capacity of wisdom and knowledge in the inner person, the inner man. See, having been enlightened, it is a past action with continuing results. Paul prayed for the spiritual illumination of these believers based on the fact that they have in the past been enlightened. Paul was saying that there was a time when there was a change brought about in the inner man of the believer that gave him an ongoing capability for spiritual wisdom and understanding. The enlightenment he was speaking of was regeneration. Regeneration. See, prior to salvation, man is spiritually dead. He is spiritually blind. Ephesians 4:18 tells us, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because why? They are spiritually discerned. He's not able to spiritually discern them. The depravity of sin has affected the natural human mind, the natural human heart, so that it cannot grasp spiritual things. It cannot. But when a sinner is regenerated through the work of the Holy Spirit, when that which is spiritually dead is given spiritual life, then the effects of the depravity of the mind can be overcome. See, it is then that the believer, because of what Paul was giving thanks for, it is then that the believer, God's regenerating work through the Holy Spirit can grasp the spiritual truth. He wants us to see this. The one who has been regenerated has the capacity for spiritual illumination. What does this mean for you and I? What is the implication of this? First, I would say this, that only a believer can fully grasp spiritual truth. Everything that we're talking about down in Sunday school, everything that we're going through, you still will not fully comprehend spiritual truth apart from the work of the Spirit. Only a believer can grasp spiritual truth. Meaning what? The unbeliever cannot. Believers are often guilty, and notice, believers are often guilty of expecting those who are spiritually dead to be able to understand spiritual truths that they are not capable of understanding. Truths which seem clear to you and I. Truths which seem clear to us, to the born-again believer. Truths about God, man, sin, and Jesus Christ are like dark mud to the unbeliever. They don't grasp them. They don't understand them. Because his sight cannot penetrate it. It takes the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of the unbeliever to the biblical truth he encounters. Now, this does not mean that we neglect giving truth. It doesn't mean that we neglect sharing truth. But that does mean that we must trust in, we must rely on the Holy Spirit of God to open the eyes of the spiritually blind We must have a measure of patient understanding while we faithfully proclaim the truth of God's word to others. This also means that every believer has the capacity to understand spiritual truth. What it means, how it applies to their life. So as we look at this, Paul can pray that God would give the Ephesians spiritual insight because every believer has the capacity for spiritual illumination. Every believer has been regenerated by the work of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that I want us to see this morning, the next thing, is that every believer must cultivate the characteristic of spiritual illumination. I want to spend some time here looking at this. Let us move back to verse 17 and consider the basic content of Paul's request for the Ephesians. Because it is here in verse 17 that we catch a glimpse of the essential traits, the characteristics of spiritual illumination. Notice what he says. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him. Notice first, Paul's prayer was that God would give them or grant them illumination, and that's what he's praying for. Consistent with what we've already said, consistent with what we've already looked at, the capability to grasp spiritual truth comes from God. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It is not a natural ability. It is not just based on our intelligence, although it does involve our intellect. There are two important aspects of illumination I'd like us to consider here out of this point this morning. And that is, first, spiritual illumination requires a spiritual disposition. The spirit of wisdom and of revelation. The word spirit can be taken a couple ways. First, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, referring to verse 17, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. The word spirit is referred a couple ways. The Holy Spirit. A number of translations take it this way, including the ESV, which I'm reading from today. They would say it is the work of the Spirit that makes illumination possible. Spirit, capital S, is connected here with the term revelation, which we normally associate with divine truth, which is made known to us by God through the Holy Spirit. So the first is the Holy Spirit. The second is a spiritual disposition. The spiritual state or a state of mind, a disposition as an aspect of the human heart. Galatians 6:1 says, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. I would submit to you this morning that it may be hard to eliminate either possibility entirely. Since it appears that Paul is writing to those who have already been regenerated, or those that are already enlightened, if you will, they would have already had the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And we see that in verses 13 and 14. Notice, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and the believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Therefore, it would seem that this is a reference to the inner disposition. That's what I would submit to you. The inner disposition of the believer, not the person of the Holy Spirit. But since this is a disposition of the believer, it is a state of mind towards spiritual truths generated by the Holy Spirit. See, we have already seen that the natural man does not have the disposition. It is a human disposition which the Holy Spirit induces or enables. It is a disposition or a mindset towards spiritual truth that is brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. Now, all of this can begin to sound a little bit, if you will, mystical. Therefore, I want us to be careful that we understand the next crucial characteristic of spiritual illumination, and that is this. Spiritual illumination involves understanding the significance of spiritual truth. It's never absent from it. Because notice what he says, and continuing in verse 17. He says, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Of wisdom and of revelation. It is these terms here that hit upon that what is the spiritual disposition enables the believer to grasp, to comprehend, and understand. Wisdom normally involves a practical knowledge, application of biblical truth, right living through truth applied. Revelation, on the other hand, often used to refer to divine revelation of truth, what God has revealed of himself. He reveals us in general in creation or specifically through his word. But the basic idea of the word is disclosure, what is uncovered, what is unveiled, to cause something to be fully known. See, my point is this. Paul here is not asking that every believer receive new revelation. He's not asking that every believer receive new truth or visions or voices or revelatory truth from God. But what he's asking that they would understand fully the knowledge of God that they already have. Notice, look back at verse 17. The spirit of wisdom and of revelation in what? In the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him. The sense is in reference to the knowledge of him. See, Paul was asking that God would enable the Ephesian believers through the spirit affected disposition, through the work of the Holy Spirit of the inner man, that he would enable them to grasp the significance of truths that they know of him and apply those truths to their lives. It was the spirit-enabled capability of the believer to comprehend and to understand the significance of scriptural truth that Paul was praying for here. I used the word for you a couple times, the word significance. I think it's critical that we understand what is meant by that term. It is most easily understood in contrast to the idea of meaning when it comes to biblical truth. See, when I use the word meaning, or when others use the word meaning, they are saying what the author intends to represent by the word he uses. Significance, on the other hand, talks about the relationship between that meaning, what the author intended when he used the words he used, the relationship between the meaning and a person or a situation. What is the significance of it? Let me illustrate it for you this way. Say you're down at the Sears Tower. Now, I guess since 2009, it's been known as the Willis Tower. But the Sears Tower. And you are on the 25th floor. And you're waiting for the elevator. The elevator shows up. You step onto the elevator and you're looking around. And in that elevator, you see a sign right there on the door that says maximum capacity 10 people. You look around the elevator and you see that there's 10 people already in there. And those 10 people are people who, they are the linemen for the Chicago Bears, each of them over 300 pounds. And you realize that you're number 11. As you look at that sign, what is the meaning of it? It's simple. No more than 10 people should get on this elevator, right? It's not hard to figure that out. What is the significance as you look at that sign and you look around at the elevator and you realize who else is in there with you? The significance is you're in a heap of trouble. And trying to remember if your life insurance is paid up. See, the point is this, that when you apply the meaning of the capacity sign to your situation that you find yourself in, you comprehend that you are in potential danger and that you better get off before the door closes. That is understanding the significance of the meaning of what was written on the sign. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The meaning is extensive, but it's clear that God loved, he gave his son, and he's calling to faith and eternal life. Those are the words that he's using. But the significance of that is what? To have eternal life and not perish, a person must place their faith in Christ. See, anyone with a basic knowledge of language can understand the meaning of the passage or any other passage of Scripture. What is my point? Why then doesn't every unbeliever who hears the verse of John 3:16 bow their head and trust Christ? Because he cannot see the significance of it until the Holy Spirit illumines the truth of that to his heart. That's the difference between meaning and significance. Remember, illumination is a spiritual disposition that is a work of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Meaning what? Believers' actions are to be motivated by humble concern for others rather than selfish concern for themselves. So what is the significance of it? As a believer places that truth against his or her own actions, selfishness should be abandoned, and what's best for others should be our top priority. Significance has to do with how the meaning of Scripture relates to you and I as believers to our situation. See, it is the catalyst for applying the truths that we can clearly interpret from the Word of God. So what do you and I do with this? What does this mean for us? How do we apply it? And I would say this, believers find it easy to bask in the glory of the marvelous biblical truths about God and Jesus Christ. But far too often, we fail or refuse to take the meaning of those truths, grasp the relationship to our life, and grasp the relationship to our lives. Therefore, we don't apply those truths. They never change us. And in effect, that's what Paul was praying for here. He was praying, not that the Ephesian believers would not just have an intellectual knowledge about God, but that their knowledge would impact their lives. In other words, when a believer encounters spiritual truth, he or she says, if what the Word of God says is true, then I must do this. Or I should stop doing this. Or I must make this change, this in my life. That is what the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit is all about. It is about affecting change and spiritual growth. That's what Paul is praying for the Ephesian believers. Do you realize that if that is not happening in the believer's life, then they are acting just like an unbeliever? You and I can understand all the meaning we want. We can memorize all the Scripture we want. But if there is no significance, then we are acting just like an unbeliever. There's no application. There's no response. There's no turning from or turning to, putting on or putting off. In fact, I would submit to you that it's worse because an unbeliever does not have the capability to grasp the significance of Scripture that a believer does. Far too often, Christians allow their sinfulness to hinder the illuminating work that the Holy Spirit desires to accomplish in them. How often have you heard or read some truth from God's Word? You understood its meaning and you realized its significance. What the significance of that truth was for you in relationship to your life. Has that happened? Now, when it did, how many times did you apply it? How many times did you make some change? How many times did you live differently because of that truth? How many times did you ignore the significance and do nothing? See, let me note this. Before we leave this point, I'd like to mention a very important note here. I'd like to submit to you that illumination is not automatic. It is accomplished by the Holy Spirit through our disposition and the studying and interpreting of Scripture. Then the more likely we are to grasp the significance of Scripture. See what I... That also means that the believer must read and study and struggle with the Word of God if the Spirit is going to bring understanding. If the Spirit is going to bring application to our minds and our hearts. The reality is that you and I have the responsibility to cultivate the necessary aspects of spiritual illumination. Use our minds to seek to interpret the meaning of Scripture and then seek to understand its significance. Paul had a great burden. He says that, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God, notice, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Him. Paul prays here that God would open their eyes to the truths that they know, that they would see what God has given, that they would see who God is, and that they would not just see and understand the meaning of the text, but they would understand the significance of the truth of His Word in their own lives. Every believer has the capacity for spiritual illumination. I would submit to you that every believer must cultivate the unique character of illumination. It does require a spiritual disposition. It involves seeking the significance of spiritual truth. And lastly, the last thing that I want to look at this morning is this. Every believer must recognize the objective of spiritual illumination. Notice that phrase again. In the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him. What is the ultimate objective of spiritual illumination? It is a deeper understanding, it is a greater comprehension of the knowledge of our great and glorious God, so that there will be growth in our relationship with God. It is that this knowledge is not just a mental comprehension of a multitude of facts, but a grasping of a profound significance of who God is, of what God is like, His character, of what He has done and what He is doing and what He is going to do. Then applying that understanding, taking that understanding to the manner and the content of one's life, and seeing change, seeing maturity, seeing growth, real spiritual growth, seeing the knowledge of God found in His Word affect and change our lives. See, the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit is carried on in the believer's life so that the believer might know God and conform his life to that knowledge. Is that what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life? Are you growing in your knowledge and your understanding of God and His Word? And is the significance of that truth changing your life? Paul prayed. He prayed that God would give the Ephesian believers spiritual illumination. The Spirit regenerated disposition to grasp and understand the significance of what he was going to tell them about God and the relationship to Him in the verses to come. Every believer needs spiritual illumination to grow in their knowledge of God. Every believer has the capacity for spiritual illumination. Every believer must cultivate the characteristics of illumination. Every believer must recognize the objective of spiritual illumination. Now, what significance does this have for you and I today? Let me ask you a couple of... What significance does this have for you today? Let me ask you here, are you capable of understanding the significance of great truth of Scripture? Are you regenerated? Meaning, are you born again? Have you passed from death to life? Have you trusted Christ? If you cannot answer yes to those questions, then I would say to you this morning, you cannot truly grasp the significance of the Bible. You can't. It's impossible. If you are a believer, the question is, are you utilizing and cultivating the capacity that you possess by virtue of the Holy Spirit for understanding the significance of the Word of God for your life? See, when it comes to biblical truth, the believer must continually be asking himself, what significance does this have for me? How should I be responding to this truth? It is not enough just to have an intellectual understanding of God's word, to be full of biblical truth. But God's desire is that we would allow the Spirit of God to inform us of how that truth should impact our lives and then apply it. As you and I study and read God's word, as you and I study and know God's word through the hearing of God's word, what are we doing with that knowledge? What are we doing with that truth? I would be the first to submit to you this morning that there's a lot of wisdom that God has given that has probably not been rightly applied. That the significance has been lost because I did not allow the Spirit to continue and to finish that work. My desire as I work through this text here this morning is not only for you to see these truths, but that I would see these truths. My desire is that we as a church would understand the great ability that if you truly know Christ, that God has given you by the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. See, you and I, as we study on how to understand or how to study our Bible, how to understand the truths of God's Word, God has also given us the one, the Spirit of God, who will take that which we study, that meaning, and He will give significance to it as we rightly then apply that to our lives and our situation. And my prayer is that as we see that and as He does that, that we would take that and we would say, okay, help me to understand today how to change. How am I to live different because of this truth? How am I to respond in light of this truth? Or maybe you're just encouraged. It's an encouraging word to you. God's giving you that assurance that you are taking the right steps, that you're doing the right thing. May we understand both the meaning and significance. But if you're here today and you do not know Christ, I cannot emphasize enough that if you do not know Christ, you cannot understand the significance of God's word. All of us have been there at one point. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. And it is only through the gift of salvation that God gives us the Spirit, that it will indwell us, it will help us to understand the significance of His Word. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, then I would beg of you to come, that we would love to show you how you can know Him through His Word. If you're here today and you do know Christ, my question to you that I've asked you this morning are, what are you doing with the truth that God is giving you? What impact is that making in your life? What impact is that making in my life? Not just in your life alone, but then what are you doing with that impact in the lives of others as we minister to one another? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the time here this morning. We thank you for the truths in your word. And Lord, those that may be here this morning that do not know Jesus Christ, may they understand this morning that apart from knowing Christ as Savior, apart from placing their faith and trust in Him as the only forgiveness of sins, as the only forgiveness, as the only propitiation, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes to the truth of your word and that they would see their need for Christ. Lord, for those of us in here that by your grace, by the illuminating work of your Spirit of opening our eyes to the significance of that truth, have trusted you, called on you as Lord and Savior, may we recognize that that work that you began in us through that call, you desire to continue to do. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word, for the truth that we have the privilege of holding in our hand and reading and studying and sharing with one another, having Bible studies and great discussions. But Lord, may we understand that as Paul was praying for the Ephesians, that if it stops at just understanding the meaning and there's no comprehension of the significance, there's no application of that meaning to personal situation, then it is lost. Then I, even as a believer, have responded to your word as an unbeliever, or even worse. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to humbly and graciously come before you in your mercy. And Lord, may we come before you desiring not only the meaning of the truth, but the significance of the truth, desiring to see our lives changed by the power of your word and the power of your spirit. Lord, we understand that this is only a work that you can do. We pray that you would help us to use the minds that you have given us to be faithful to you and your word, to study it, to know it, and may we be humble enough to come before you in that truth, to recognize that I'm the one that needs that truth. We are the ones. May we see that applied to our lives through the power of your Spirit. Lord, we ask for this in your name. Amen.